For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe, as you should also support our work, if, in both cases, you don't already, so that we can continue to bring climate sanity, and also friendly greetings to those who've made Cyprus number 40 on our all-time list of views by country or jurisdiction. Greetings that we will not seize the opportunity to mangle in Greek or in Turkish, lest it cause controversy, and not because of my pronunciation. But speaking of opportunities, we will express surprise and self-interested relief at reading that the Canada Pension Plan, to which we must turn for sustenance in our dotage, unless you continue to respond to my irritating but essential requests for one-time or monthly pledges, has deep-sixed its commitment to net zero investing of other people's savings, lest they achieve net zero or lower returns. And they did it fast. As Bloomberg observed, quote, Canada Pension Plan Investment Board dropped its commitment to achieve net zero emissions by 2050 just 3 years after establishing the target, end quote. Prompting National Post columnist Jamie Sikornak to snicker, wow, they must be climate deniers. Touché, since it's exactly the kind of response that people who write the CPP's climate propaganda reliably produce if someone dares to question the wisdom of plunging off the green cliff fiscally. And yet there they are going, whoa, Nelly, long way down, better not. The state having metastasized here, as across the Western world in the last century or so, the CPP is a very big investor, including $1 billion in Tesla alone as part of its focus on climate change. Or to be exact, the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, which is actually one of the world's biggest investors in what used to be private markets, and whose increasingly adventurous and exotic investment policies were raising eyebrows, along with its lavish executive compensation, even before this particular one came along and then, with unusual and reassuring speed, went. They're still prating about nation-building projects and climate this and that, but, quote, forcing alignment with rigid milestones could lead to investment decisions that are misaligned with our investment strategy. To avoid that risk, and to remain focused on delivering results, not managing legal uncertainty, we have made a considered decision to no longer maintain a net zero by 2050 commitment, end quote. And you know, telling us that you made a considered decision is somewhat like a restaurant putting delicious on their menu. If you have to say it, it's because people doubt it, and with good reason. But Bloomberg joins their excuse festival. Quote, the pension plan, which has about 714 billion Canadian dollars, 515 billion US dollars in assets, cited recent legal developments that have changed how such commitments are interpreted. CPPIB's investment portfolio is too complex for standardized emissions metrics and interim targets, according to the firm, end quote. But how is it easier for small outfits to deal with legal and measurement complexity than big ones that can afford to hire a legion of accountants, econometricians, or haruspices, and, to be inclusive, haruspicini, to try to figure out how much CO2 a muffin gives off? The fact is, you can't make sense of the ecologometrics or the regulations because they make no sense. The goals are unattainable, and if you go woke on climate, as on other things, you'll go broke. The good news is that if the CPP didn't admit it in words, they did admit it in deeds. The green energy transition is not a golden opportunity, but more like brass, tin, or even lead. And speaking of admitting things, in the endless caterwauling about Donald Trump's attempts to stop subsidizing allegedly cheaper and better alternative energy, Heatmap complains that, quote, the Trump administration's funding freeze has hit the leading electrification nonprofit Rewiring America, which announced Thursday that it will be cutting its workforce by 28%, or 36 employees, end quote. But the thing is, if you can't operate without free money from the government, you're not actually winning the competition for customers' dollars, are you? And now we laugh and say, take it like a man. Because, in addition to owing National Review over $500,000 over a Mark Stein blog post 13 years ago about a Competitive Enterprise Institute article by Rand Simberg, Michael Mann has also been ordered to pay CEI and Simberg $477,350.80 in legal fees over proceedings in which the court found that Mann and his lawyers were deliberately deceptive. Roger Pilkey Jr. points out, quote, the fees were awarded under the Anti-SLAPP Act, which the court explains is to protect targets of meritless lawsuits, end quote. And now Mann, or his anonymous deep-pocketed legal backer, though We deniers have all the money and are the sinister and secretive ones. Man's on the hook for $1 million and counting. And we are indeed counting. Meanwhile, an increasingly popular alarmist claim is that human civilization, including agriculture, can only operate within a very narrow band of about 1 degree Celsius. But as Matthew Willeke complains, quote, you experience temperature changes far greater than this every day, end quote. To which we add that people farm from Canada to Costa Rica in temperatures whose average, as well as whose highs and lows, daily and seasonal, vary enormously. But on climate, you can just say anything. Oh, and about that medieval warm period. From No Trick Zone, and hat tip to Climate Depot, a study of DNA from elephant seal breeding sites, quote, suggests the limit of Antarctic sea ice was around 2,000 kilometers further south than it is today, 2,500 to 1,000 years ago, end quote. And if that sounds like quite the span to you, it's because this study takes in both the Roman and medieval warm periods, which did exist, and evidently weren't regional, since they stretched from Europe to the South Pole. And as No Trick Zone observes, it, quote, means Antarctica's sea ice limits were thousands of kilometers less extensive than today, back when CO2 concentrations were at safe pre-industrial levels, around 265 parts per million, end quote. Though something called Inexpressible Island, which already doesn't sound good, wouldn't be safe at such levels with romping elephant seals, which are very large, and for some reason earless seals that weigh up to 4 tons. And speaking of history, an alert reader sends us an item from, of all sources, the BBC, bearing the headline, quote, Too Hot? In 1858, a heat wave turned London into a stinking sewer, end quote. And admittedly, the piece is archival in both senses, because it dates to 2018, and the Beeb almost certainly wouldn't run it today. Especially as it contains forbidden thoughts like, quote, suffering in the hot weather? Spare a thought, then, for the population of London back in 1858, a year of sky-high temperatures and the great stink. That year, the London Standard reported temperatures of over 30 C by the middle of June, and the weather stayed hot for several weeks, end quote. Rather underlining that there's always been bad weather, even heat waves at the tail end of the Little Ice Age, despite the usual hottest-ever propaganda, and that the appropriate posture is resilience, not running in circles, screaming and shouting. Which we can apparently also stop doing, because the Washington Post surveys the cool spring of 2025 and general lack of crisis, and says, it's all over, we passed the tipping point, we're all going to die. Quote, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere last year grew at the fastest rate in recorded history, a dramatic spike that scientists fear may indicate that Earth's ecosystems are so stressed by warming they can no longer absorb much of the pollution humanity emits, end quote. So, never mind global greening. Plants are all dead, etc., and so forth, blah, blah, blah. In which case, can you shut up and let us expire in peace, guys? Huh? Alas, it seems not. Instead, a new paper in Bioscience, which claims to be a forum for integrating the life sciences, end quote, starts calmly by shrieking, quote, we are on the brink of an irreversible climate disaster. This is a global emergency beyond any doubt. Much of the very fabric of life on Earth is imperiled, end quote. And no, you don't get bonus points for guessing that the typically bloated author list includes Noam Oreskes and, yes, Michael Mann. Or that the paper says, quote, the three hottest days ever occurred in July of 2024, Gutierrez 2024, end quote. Which is a reference not to a peer-reviewed academic paper, but to the ravings of UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. And then they wonder why people don't trust scientists anymore. Speaking of which, the New York Times howls, quote, U.S. government to stop tracking the costs of extreme weather. It would be harder for insurers and scientists to study wildfires, storms, and other billion-dollar disasters, which are growing more frequent as the planet warms, end quote. Now, some sardonic types might say that it shouldn't be that hard to notice a billion-dollar disaster, even without bureaucratic help. But the irony is that it's actually apparently very hard to do it even with such help. In a piece RIP Noah's Billion-Dollar Disasters, the curious end to a troubled tabulation, Roger Pilkey Jr. reminds us that, in fact, this iconic piece of misinformation was discontinued in large part because critics, most notably one Roger Pilkey Jr., had tirelessly exposed, in the scientific literature, the sloppy statistical mishandling of the numbers to exaggerate problems that made the measure worse than useless. On top of which, it's worth mentioning that wildfires and storms are not growing more frequent, if you mean statistically, rather than rhetorically. But how could the Times know that if the government weren't there to hang on? In the newsletter, we also continue our Look It Up series and anticipate our report on Senegal by looking at indoor air pollution. Because when you're thinking about the sorts of data that we need to have handy to explain climate change issues to people, it's not just about temperature and rainfall and wind. Instead, the anointed who want to control the world's thermostat, and believe that they can, also believe that they must control what kinds of energy the world's poor get to use. But if we're going to debate that matter, we'd better know what the downside is to preventing them from using fossil fuels, either in their homes or in their power plants. And remember, people still need to heat their homes and cook their food, even if you interfere with their choices. And so they're going to use something for fuel. And if they don't have access to reliable electricity and natural gas or propane, then they burn wood, dung, coal, straw, and other such fuels that release smoke and soot inside the house, which is why the rates of death from indoor air pollution are so much higher in the places living the net zero dream in its original form. And here, from our world and data, are the global numbers showing the problem. The horizontal axis is the share of the population in a country with access to clean cooking fuels, and the vertical axis is deaths from inhaling gunk per 100,000 population. And guess what? Most rich countries, like Canada, are piled up at the bottom right-hand corner, because access to clean fuel means that hardly anyone dies from indoor air contamination. Meanwhile, something's up with the clouds. Or down, because global cloud cover has dropped over the past decade. And according to a recent study from researchers in Germany, the warming surge in the last few years is closely associated with that decline, because it allows more solar radiation to get to the surface and get absorbed. But despite the settled science, nobody knows what's driving what. If greenhouse gas warming is causing cloud cover to drop, then it's going to cause yet more warming and spell a runaway man-made disaster. But if something else, like ocean circulation cycles, caused the cloud cover to drop, then CO2 isn't to blame, and man-made warming is a phantom. We're not sure which it is, though for obvious reasons it's a topic that we're going to watch closely. The question is, will the alarmists do the same, or will they refuse to look up? For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and please send money so that I don't become a ward of the state via the CPP just as it collapses.